Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Good to be back with you on a Thursday. It is Thursday, March 26, 2020. A big thank you to my wonderful producer, Andrew Kruchek, and Sherry Brownrigg and Vanessa Denhagarmo holding down the fort while I took a few days off for my mom's passing. And thank you, brothers and sisters, and all of my friends at the network, both Ave Maria Radio and EW10, for the prayers and the cards and the flowers. And I can really, literally feel your love. Even though we can't physically hug, I feel it all the way here in chilly southeastern Michigan. It's been a rough week, a very emotional week, as you can imagine. But the good news is that the good news is still ours, as in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I don't know what people do if you don't have faith, especially at a time like this, whether we're talking about the pandemic or whether we're combining that with the loss of a loved one. I will say it's a very challenging time to go through this with the loss of a loved one, because everything is different and it changes from moment to moment. We were supposed to have the funeral yesterday. That was postponed, and so we're moving a Christian burial to Saturday. We can't have a mass right now because of the restrictions, and we will have a celebration of Rosie Posey's life at a beautiful mass at our home parish sometime in the future. But that's what it is right now, and this is for our safety. And although I'll say in the beginning when we first announced all these restrictions, I was really saying, is this really necessary? But I have to be honest and tell you that I've heard from and I've been in contact with regularly my friends in Italy, not just Joan Lewis, who's back there now, but even before Joan went home to Rome, and she's there. She was just on with us, I believe, yesterday, and she'll be on with us again next week. It's terrible there. And my friend Alfredo and also Daniele, both of whom work with me through my new mission, Tease Italy, said, take this seriously. Please take this seriously. We didn't take it seriously at first here, and now we're suffering the consequences. And Alfredo must have texted me four or five times over the last few days and just say, when you go back on the air, remind people how serious this is. So with that in mind, we need to take these precautions very seriously. And understand this is only for the time being, so hopefully we can get over this period and bring down the numbers in terms of the numbers of people that are being diagnosed with this pandemic of coronavirus, COVID-19. So on top of that, yesterday, those of you who subscribed to my newsletter and maybe on my email list also discovered that I was hacked. Oh, how fun. And it's really very, very eye-opening to see how creative these hackers are in terms of the way they write the initial message to try and get your attention, because at first it looks very convincing. I think there were two emails that went out. One said, I need to talk to you. Can you call me right now? I need your help. And people are so loving and so wonderful, and so many of you wrote back and say, whatever I can do for you, whatever I could do, what do you need? And then my phone started ringing off the hook. I heard from four or five people overseas that are in various locations around the world with whom we work through EWTN calling me, are you okay? Is everything okay? And then I had to tell everyone, thank you for the concern, but we've been hacked. And so my crack team at Teresa Tomeo Communications got busy. Gail and Marcy and Jeff got busy right away, and God willing, straightened it all out. But I have a new email address, and most of you who are on my email list have received that notice by now. But, oh, you know, it's just interesting in the midst of all this craziness to be hacked. But you know what? As my mother used to say, we offer it up to God, and we put it at the foot of the cross, that Jersey accent. And when I wrote my mom's obituary, so one of the questions they ask you is, what will she be remembered for most? And I said, probably her very engaging personality. She was very, very outgoing, and I get a lot of that from her. But her Jersey accent, people, even at the assisted living facility, they loved it because she, you know, the way she spoke, she never lost that accent. And we've been in Michigan now for, gosh, she moved here when I was five, so I'm 60 years old, so 55 years ago. And she still talked like this and said, get me a cup of coffee, shut the door, be careful. We have to go to the doctor, D-O-C-T-A. Adorable. So she was about to be 94 years old. And interestingly enough, my aunt, my sweet Aunt Carol, who was married to my Uncle Steve, my dad's older brother, she passed away this week. And Carol was at the same assisted living facility. They own several in the area. at another place. This one was on 13 Mile Road in Metro Detroit. My mom was on 15 Mile Road in Metro Detroit. And they used to call each other and talk about what they were doing and what activity they were going to. But they were very close, and it's interesting that they both died the same week. So a lot going on. We had another tragedy in our family, so I'd ask for your prayers. A cousin of mine, Carol's daughter, Patty, passed away, complications of diabetes, within a day of her mom. So there's been a lot in the household of my family, and we're facing a lot right now. But thanks be to God, we all have our faith, and that's what's helping us keep everything in perspective, really. Because we know this is not the end. It really is not. We're on a pilgrimage. And this is not it, folks. And I think the reason so many people are panicking, not you, of course, but so many people are panicking is because they don't understand the big picture. God is allowing this to happen. He doesn't go around zapping people or causing these things, but he is allowing this to happen, as it says in the gospel this past weekend, so the works of God can be revealed. And we're going to talk about that today. We're going to have Abby Johnson on with us, and she's going to tell us how this whole thing with the pandemic is really causing the pro-life community to come together once again and to rise up and say, enough. Why is it that everything, for the most part, is shut down, except abortion mills are allowed to continue to kill innocent babies in the womb, and of course, wreak havoc with the lives of women and families everywhere? And not to mention, as Father Frank and I were talking in the first part of my program this morning on a Thursday, they're not exactly bastions of following the health codes to begin with. I mean, they're less regulated to begin with than nail salons and hair salons. And we know the horrific stories of how they don't follow the least bit of regulations that they already have in place. And so that, on top of the fact that this is quote-unquote elective, I didn't want to call it surgery, because it's just so... Surgery is gives you the impression that it's helping someone. But this procedure, let's put it that way, is elective. So how is it that we can't go to the dentist or can't have other elective procedures, but they can go ahead and have abortions? Why is it allowed to continue? Now, there have been many letters, and Marjorie Dannenfelser was on EWTN News Nightly last night doing an interview. They've sent letters to the Health and Human Services Department. They're putting a lot of people on notice. A lot of individual pro-life groups of various states, including right here in Michigan, are organizing efforts to contact the governor and to really get their attention on this matter. We're all supposed to follow all of these strict regulations, and okay, fine. But why are those who are performing abortions always given a break? So Abby Johnson of And Then There Were None, her beautiful book, Unplanned, a bestseller, was made into an amazing film that came out last year. She'll join us at about 15 minutes past the hour, and look forward to speaking with her. We'll also take your calls and your questions. And then I'm going to share a very powerful homily from a Mass at my parish over the weekend. And I was, of course, live streaming Mass at home while my husband was serving. We're doing our 4 o'clock and our 8 o'clock Mass live streamed. And it's so different. It's just a surreal time right now, isn't it? But the homily that was given at the 4 o'clock Vigil Mass on Saturday was just so beautiful. And the priest, Father Rich, who's also a local hospital chaplain, he helps out at our parish on the weekends, shared the prayer for the pandemic. I posted it on my Facebook page earlier this week, right after the homily, as a matter of fact. And I've given the link to Andrew, so he is going to put it up on the Catholic Connection archive section of our show, so you can go to that later, and also repost it on my Facebook page this morning. And, of course, we'll take your questions and your thoughts on what's going on in our world, and maybe in your world as well. Maybe you have some ideas on how you're handling if you're in a shutdown state. Our governor on Monday announced that we have to have a stay-at-home order, which means that we can obviously go to the grocery store, the pharmacy, go to get our cars filled with gas, things like that. But non-essential services, except, of course, for abortions, everything else is closed, and they're encouraging us to stay at home. So we'll have more on this as we follow this developing story, and we'll give you the phone number right after the break. Thank you again for your love and support, and continue to pray for our family as we go through this time of grieving, losing 3 members of our family in a week. Pretty rough, but at the same time, all of the people that I mentioned, my Aunt Carol, my mom, and my cousin Patty, were all very faithful Catholics, and that's very comforting to know. Right now, let's take a look at the news and see what's happening in and around our world on a Thursday morning. Well, Pope Francis saying yesterday the Church's pro-life message more relevant than ever as the world faces a coronavirus pandemic. The attacks, he said, on the dignity of life and people unfortunately continue even in our era. We are faced with new threats and new slavery, and legislation is not always, he says, to protect the weakest. The message of the encyclical Evangelium Vitae is therefore, the Pope stressed, more relevant today than ever. And he mentioned this in his live stream Wednesday audience. This year's solemnity of the Annunciation marking the 25th anniversary, as Catholic News Agency reports, of the encyclical Evangelium Vitae, promulgated by St. John Paul II on the value and the dignity of all human life. The miraculous crucifix at which Pope Francis prayed over the weekend for an end to the virus has now been taken down from its altar and transported to St. Peter's Square so it can be present tomorrow during the Holy Father's benediction, his message to the city and the world. The crucifix removed from the Church of San Marcello al Corso by Vatican personnel last night, expected to be installed temporarily at St. Peter's today, according to Vatican journalist Francesco Antonio Grana. The crucifix was venerated as miraculous by Romans after it was the only religious image to survive unscathed from a fire that completely gutted the church back in 1519. The Italian bishop of a missionary region of Ethiopia, the first Catholic bishop known to have died of the global virus pandemic, passed away yesterday. Bishop Angelo Moretti, 67 years old, was the leader of the Ethiopian Apostolic Vicariate of Gambela. That's a missionary region of 25,000 Catholics in the western part of the country. He died yesterday in the Italian city of Brescia in Lombardy, the region that has become the European epicenter of the pandemic. The bells of every Catholic church in the Archdiocese of Chicago have been ringing five times a day for the many people affected by the COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic. As of Wednesday, over 1,500 people had been infected and 16 had died in the U.S. state of Illinois, with Chicago the state's worst-hit city. The cardinal there, Blaise Supich, the archbishop, telling Vatican Radio, the bells were tolling for the sick at 9 a.m., healthcare workers at noon, first responders and essential workers at 3 p.m., leaders and peoples of all countries at 6 p.m., and those who have died from COVID-19 at 9 p.m. And Kentucky's churches also unified in the fight against coronavirus. Church bells could be heard ringing throughout the Commonwealth this week. On Monday, the governor calling for the bells to ring in unison as a show of solidarity. Faith community leaders say church bells have served to call people to prayer and have notified them of emergencies throughout history. Mark Mayfield tells us the Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell praising the passage of the emergency coronavirus relief package.
McConnell told reporters that senators went from the mostly partisan impeachment to unanimously approving a massive piece of legislation to benefit Americans.
I think one of the reasons that happened is we're inspired by what's going on around the country. People are helping each other, reaching out, looking for ways to make a difference, following the directions of the healthcare professionals.
He argued lawmakers may have been inspired by other good acts that are being committed across the country during this difficult time. The package will give most Americans who make less than $75,000 a year a $1,200 check. Families will also get an additional $500 for each child.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo saying the Chinese government knew the virus would become a global issue and repeatedly delayed in telling other countries.
We tried, you'll remember from the opening days, to get our scientists, our experts on the ground there so that we could begin to assist in the global response to what began there in China, but we weren't able to do that. The Chinese Communist Party wouldn't permit that to happen.
Earlier yesterday, Pompeo meeting with his counterparts through a virtual G7 teleconference to talk about the response to the virus. He said every nation that took part is deeply aware of the disinformation campaign the Chinese government has engaged in about the coronavirus. The president agreeing with the decision to postpone the 2020 Olympics.
I think it's going to be a fantastic Olympics, 2021. I think it's going to be a fantastic Olympics. It was the absolute right decision to delay it for a full year and now have a full, beautiful Olympics.
During a briefing yesterday, the president saying he plans to be there, Japan's prime minister and the International Olympic Committee announcing this week the games would be delayed by 1 year because of the coronavirus. The opening ceremony was set for late July. The Red Cross, in other news, extending the deadline to file for emergency financial assistance following those deadly tornadoes that struck the Nashville area earlier this month. The Red Cross announcing yesterday that deadline being extended until April 1st. Today was the original deadline. The Red Cross offering emergency financial assistance to those whose homes are destroyed or heavily damaged by the tornadoes. And Dean Muccio says actress Lori Loughlin demanding that the college cheating case against her be thrown out.
Lawyers for the Full House star and her husband were in court on Wednesday claiming misconduct. They accused prosecutors of pressuring the ringleader to say he was bribed. Documents show that man, Rick Singer, first only said the money given by Loughlin and others was a donation. He also said the parents did not know about his scheme. Trial begins in October.
It is just about 15 minutes past the hour. Hope you're doing well, whether you are at home or if you're still working. Maybe you're in the healthcare field. If you are, thank you so much for all you're doing for all of us during this pandemic. Phone lines are open, 877-573-7825, 877-573-7825. So why in the world is pretty much everything shut down? Except the abortion industry? Well, Abby Johnson, former director of Planned Parenthood, has a lot to say about that. She has a beautiful ministry called And Then There Were None, where she helps those who work in the industry come out and start a brand new life. She's an author, she's a speaker, and she joins us up next. We'll give you the website of her great ministry. And here's the phone number again if you have a question for Abby, 877-573-7825. It is a Thursday. Thank you again for your love and your prayers. Keep them coming. Our family really needs it right now. And we'll be right back with Abby Johnson.
This Ave Maria radio program is brought to you in part by Hallo, a new Catholic prayer and meditation app. Hallo has just launched a Pray 40 challenge featuring daily Lenten meditations on the works of mercy, Stations of the Cross, and other audio-guided contemplative prayers. You can learn more by texting HALLOW to 66866. That's 66866. It's easier to make daily prayer a habit with Hallo.
I'm Dr. Stan Williams, and this is Evidences for Christianity. Some agnostics claim that if God exists, he's too distant to be involved in our lives. They say God may have created the universe, but such involvement was eons ago. Maybe he created the solar system, but then he fled, never to be seen or heard from again. Well, how long has it been since God made himself manifest in the world? Was it as long ago and as far away as some doubters claim? Or was it relatively recently that God showed up? The Christian incarnation claims God cares so much for us that he came in the form of a man, Jesus. He was born of a woman, lived, ate, slept, as humans do, for over 30 years, and was then killed to redeem us. That's hardly a distant, uninvolved God. Such is the evidence for Christianity. To explore more, go to AveMariaRadio.net. Under Resources, look for me, Dr. Stan Williams.
Abortion.
Pornography.
Embryonic stem cell research.
Corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood. Do you invest in companies that are engaged in these practices? The Ave Maria Mutual Funds do not, and their investment portfolios reflect that. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
It's a Thursday morning, March 26th, about 18 minutes past the hour. Thanks for tuning in to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Don't forget, as you may have seen, that wonderful video that our CEO, Michael Warsaw, put out. It's just so comforting to know that we have EWTN where you can watch the Mass live and you can join us in prayer in so many different ways, EWTN.com. And we're also carrying the Mass on AveMariaRadio.net at noon Eastern Time each day. 877-573-7825. One of the questions that have been nagging at me as soon as this whole thing started and we started to see all these different shutdowns in various industries is, are the abortion facilities still open? And in many states, the answer is yes. Some have been brave and have said you have to shut down like everybody else. but we needed to see more of that in other states. To talk about this, our dear friend and sister in the Lord, Abby Johnson, who is a convert to Catholicism. She's a pro-life speaker and author and has a very powerful ministry. I had the opportunity to interview several of the folks who were involved in, and then there were none when I was down at the March for Life, and we shared those interviews with you not too long ago. Abby, thanks for joining us. It's a tough time for everyone, but what are you finding out in terms of what's happening in the abortion industry? Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, you know, we're seeing some developments. Different states are, basically, the governors have said we're not allowing non-essential procedures or surgeries to be performed. And, you know, governors have said that, you know, that's what was said in California as well, although the governor deems abortion as essential. We've seen four states also take this position in a different way. So Texas, Ohio, Louisiana, and Mississippi, their governors have made the same mandate, but have made it very clear that abortion is not an essential procedure, that it is entirely elective, and abortions cannot be performed in those four states. Of course, you know, Ohio and Texas, they have already taken to the courts. They are suing now the governors and the AGs over this. However, because of, you know, all of the shutdowns and everything, the mandate's good for 30 days. So by the time we would probably even hear anything about this, the 30 days would be over. So what we're looking at is that in those four states, abortion will not be allowed for the next 30 days.
So lives will be saved in more ways than one.
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, people will say, well, now they're just going to have them later on, they're going to have the abortions later on. That may be true in some cases, but what we know to be true is that when women have more time to contemplate their decision, they almost always choose life. And Planned Parenthood knows that as well. The abortion industry knows that as well. That's why they don't like things like 24-hour waiting periods, 48-hour waiting periods, because they want the woman to be able to schedule her abortion that day when she's at her most vulnerable, get in for the abortion that day, have the abortion, and then regret it later. But that way they've already collected their funds, they've collected the money, and she can live with the fallout. But that's why they don't want waiting periods. They want women to come in and make that decision very quickly without really contemplating her other options.
We're talking with Abby Johnson, author, speaker, pro-life activist, and she runs a beautiful ministry, and then there were none helping others who used to work in the industry, such as herself, start a new life. Abby, you worked in the industry for many years, and you were a star, according to Planned Parenthood. The frustrating thing, in addition to this being elective, as you just pointed out, and as we know, and so many elective operations and procedures being postponed right now because of the virus, the other big concern, and we were talking about this during the break, is the fact that many of these abortion facilities around the country aren't exactly, you know, esteemed in terms of the way they follow regulations, the few that they have to follow. I want to know if they are continuing this quote-unquote surgery, which I don't even like to call it surgery, because surgery is you indicate or infer that you're helping someone. This is a procedure. What type of protective measures are they taking with the virus? I mean, do we even know?
You know, they wouldn't be at all, really. They would be, you know, wearing gloves like they usually do while they perform abortions. But look, they've got waiting rooms packed full of people.
Exactly. Right.
We've seen that. They've got, you know, waiting rooms full of 50, 60 people, in some facilities. There's really no, I mean, the staff, they're going to try to protect themselves. But they're not doing anything to protect the people who are crammed into these buildings waiting for abortions.
Are they going to put a 6-foot space, you know, guideline in place in those crowded waiting rooms? Are they going to limit the number of abortions in terms of, okay, we're only going to have so many today because we have to be safe? I mean, why aren't they able to, why aren't they being asked these questions? This is what I want to know. Everybody else has got to be so serious about this except for them.
Yeah, but that's what... Look, you know, as well as I do, Teresa, they get a pass, right?
Mm-hmm.
They get a pass. You know, if we saw the same inspection report come out of a hospital that we see come out of the abortion clinic, hospitals would be shut down.
Right.
But abortion clinics They fail their health inspections year after year, same problems year after year, not sterilizing instruments, not having trained staff. I mean, all these things year after year, they continue to stay open. That wouldn't be allowed at any other type of medical facility. But Planned Parenthood continues to get a pass, which is even more ridiculous. I mean, they're not doing anything to fight this virus, and which is why it was so ridiculous that the Democrats were trying to include $1 billion to the abortion industry in the corona relief.
Never ends,
bill.
Does it?
Ugh.
All right, let's take a quick break, and then we'll take some calls. We're speaking with Abby Johnson, 877-573-7825, 877-573-7825. I'm sure you've read the book Unplanned, and I'm sure you've seen the movie. If you haven't, you need to. Excellent film based on her life story, actually, and an amazing story of courage and conversion. Abby Johnson, pro-life speaker and activist, and she's with And Then There Were None. So far, I believe over 500 workers in the abortion industry have come out of that industry with the help of And Then There Were None. 877-573-7825. What we can do to let our leaders know, basta with the abortions, well, forever, but especially right now. We'll be right back. We need to make some noise, no, a lot of noise about this. 877-573-7825, chatting with Abby Johnson, author, speaker, pro-life activist. Abby, what's the best website to find you online?
Yeah, they can go to abbyjohnson.org to find me online, or I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter at Abby Johnson, or Instagram.
All right. Now, you were saying during the break that you had some friends who had some pretty intense surgeries or that needed to be done but have to be postponed. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard from, you know, friends who had surgeries. You know, they're not life-saving surgeries, but certainly things that they needed to have done that have been postponed, abortion still happening. I have a couple friends whose fathers were scheduled to have bypass surgeries, those were put on hold, yet abortions are continuing.
Unbelievable.
So, I mean, we see the hypocrisy here, you know, and these are in states where, you know, governors have said, well, you know, we need to postpone elective surgeries, but abortion is not elective. Abortion is always elective. If abortion is not elective, then I don't really know what elective surgery is.
Right. I guess they could try to say that some cases, you know, to save the life of the mother, but that is so rare. I mean, most of this is about, quote-unquote, a woman's right, as they always say, to choose, right?
Right. Yeah. And it's all just sort of interesting, though, because they're like, you know, one hand they're like, oh, you know, abortion is just so important and it's essential health care. But on the other hand, they're like, oh, it's no big deal. Abortion's no big deal. It's just, you know, aborting a clump of cells. It's like, well, you can't have it both ways.
Exactly. They
right?
talk out of both sides of their mouth, depending on whom the audience is. Let's go to the phones. Maura calling outside of Milwaukee this morning. Hey, Maura, thanks for your support and your beautiful gifts. Really appreciate it. What's on your mind this morning with Abby?
Well, yes. Hi, Teresa. Hi, Abby. And Abby, thank you for sharing your life and Unplanned and the movie and your book. Thank you so much. My question was, is there a place we can go to see about which states are allowing abortions and which ones aren't? And also, are there places that are still doing the ultrasounds and those little ultrasound mobiles? And a place, is there a way that we can warn women about abortion? Because if something happens and they go to the emergency room, they may be exposed to the COVID virus when they go there. Is there a way that we can just have people have a discernment period or get the word out?
Thanks, Maura. Good questions. Abby?
Yeah, all good questions. So currently there are only 4 states that are not allowing abortions to be performed. Texas, Ohio, Louisiana, Mississippi. Every other state is allowing abortions to take place, claiming that it's essential health care. So we need to be talking, you know, we need to be on social media, we need to be calling the governor's offices of all of the other states, encouraging them to truly stop these elective procedures like abortion. And, you know, your other question, you know, there are 40 Days for Life has suspended their campaign. I know that in some places people are still going out to the facilities to pray. And I would encourage people to continue to go, if you're allowed to do that, because the clinics are still open. Women are still going in. Now is a great time that we need to be out there. And so I totally understand why they suspended the campaign, but I mean, you know, if you feel called to go, I would encourage you to go to give, life-saving options to women. As far as mobile units going out, I'm not sure. I do know that the majority of pregnancy centers that I'm hearing from, they're still open. They're still providing care. They're still providing resources. And that's an important note here is that don't, you know, people, pro-lifers, don't forget that your pregnancy centers still need you. So a lot of centers have had to close, you know, they've had to stop, reschedule their banquets for the spring. Don't forget that they need your help now more than ever. They're still seeing patients. People are still coming in for services. Unplanned pregnancies they're not taking a break. Okay. Crisis pregnancies, not like that's ended because everybody's on quarantine, right? So they still need your support. They need your funds. They need your financial help.
Thanks, Maura. Great questions. Appreciate it. Let's go a little bit closer to us here in Michigan, Ann Arbor. Suzanne or Susan on line one. Susan, what's your question or comment for Abby Johnson this morning? Thanks for calling.
First of all, thank you, Abby, so much for your movie. I just watched it. I hesitated for a long time because I thought it would be very upsetting, and it wasn't, because compared to the news that we're seeing right now and all that we're hearing, your movie was so positive. Also, I'm a woman with a disability. I was born with a congenital condition. I'm a disability advocate, and watching your movie in the last week has given me more courage to speak out. But my question for you is, back in the 1960s when I was growing up, there was a movie, A Summer Place, with Troy Donahue.
I remember that one.
And I'm wondering, do you have a list of movies like that where, you know, that was a young couple, they found themselves in an unplanned situation, and it has such a beautiful ending because they were very mature teens. They were much more mature than the adults in their life. And is there a list of something like that parents and teachers could, you know, show to young people, to show them, you know, about what the various options are?
Wow, what a great question. I don't know if there's a list, so I'll ask Abby. But, Susan, that's a great idea. I mean, maybe we can come up with one and put it together, because you're right, the message in A Summer Place was that they loved each other and they stayed together and they got married. You know, they wanted to raise their child. I mean, there's some you know, problems in the relationships with the parents and whatnot and things. But overall, the message for the teenagers was that this was their baby and they wanted to raise the child together as husband and wife. Abby, your thoughts? I mean, I think that would be awesome to put movies like yours and others, you know, on a list for folks. Especially, I mean, I know you're homeschooling now with your kids, right?
That's right. We're by mandate. We're homeschooling. I think that's a great idea. I don't think a list exists, but I think that would be great. I mean, I would love to. I mean, I could even ask people on social media. Like,
yeah, me too. We should both do it. Yeah, let's do it. You do it, and I'll do it. We'll combine the suggestions. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. Thank you.
Yeah. Susan, thanks so much. We're almost out of time. Abby, what else can we do in addition to calling our governors right now with abortion still being, quote-unquote, elective surgery, but they're allowed to have them? What should we do?
Yeah, I mean, definitely continue to contact your governors, your attorney generals, even if you're like, oh, it's never going to happen, they're super pro-choice. It doesn't matter. They need to hear from their constituents. They need to hear from you. So you need to be flooding their phones, flooding their social media, their emails. Also, you know, if you are able to go out to the clinic to be an advocate, do so. If it's safe for you, do that. Women are still having abortions. They still need hope out on the sidewalk. Make sure that you are calling and asking what you can do for your pregnancy centers, whether it's, you know, Amazoning a pack of diapers or whatever they may need, sending a financial contribution. And now is a great time for us to really step up our advocacy on social media, you know, not being aggressive or assertive, but posting, you know.
Yes, and witnessing. Abby, sweetie, we're out of time. Thank you so much. Great job as always. AbbyJohnson.org, and we'll be right back on a Thursday morning edition of Catholic Connection. Hope you're having a beautiful Thursday, day after the Annunciation, March 26, 2020, and please stay tuned to EWTN, EWTN.com, for great programming and prayers and live streaming of the Mass. Again, EWTN.com and also AveMariaRadio.net. Many of us are live streaming the Masses. There's so many different places to go. Many of our home parishes, including mine in the Archdiocese of Detroit, are live streaming Masses. We're doing our 4 p.m. Vigil Mass and our 8 a.m. Sunday Mass. I think I shared with you last week that it's kind of surreal for me as a deacon's wife. Normally I go to the Mass where my husband serves, and I'm very proud and honored to sit there and watch him serve on the altar. And he's been a deacon for almost 8 years now. And it was somewhat surreal being back at home and watching it on the computer, but at the same time so grateful for the technology that we have to be able to have a spiritual communion and still take part in the Mass. And I was talking to one of my friends, Mary Dudley, down in South Carolina, where I recently spoke, and she has a daughter there that's with her in the same diocese, and they have 5 children, and so they make it on Sundays. They come over, they dress for church, and they watch it. They pick a particular website, and they say, okay, where are we going to go and watch Mass today? And the kids dress up, and they have one of their grandsons that dresses as an altar boy, because he is an altar boy, and even rings the bells. So make it a beautiful experience that we can still have that spiritual communion. All right, speaking of spiritual communion, the homily in particular at our 4 o'clock Mass over the weekend was just off the charts. I spoke with Father Rich Bartosik over the phone, and his homilies are normally great, but this one was whoa. My grandma, Tamio, Anna Tamio, whose maiden name was Giorgio, from a little town of Anzi Basilicata. Anyway, she used to say about when you speak truth and you love, it's like you need Blue Cross and Blue Shield because it gets to you, it cuts your heart out, right? And it was just a spot on. So I wanted to share his homily with you. And at the end of the homily, he reads what's now known as the Prayer for a Pandemic. And listen closely to it, because it reminds us of all the good that we can and should be doing, and not just during this crisis, but hopefully every day witnessing as believers in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So take a listen to this homily from Father Rich from the Saturday 4 p.m. Eastern Mass in the Archdiocese of Detroit.
We hear in that first in the gospel today about this man was born in sin. In the days of Jesus, anyone who was not perfect, anyone who was sick, was looked upon as being a victim of sin or a person of sin. The fact that they ask about the blind man, was it his sin or the sin of his parents? Think about how many people got dragged down because of that mentality, because of that thought process about sickness. And today, Jesus makes it so clear about illness, which is something we need to hear right now. It was not anyone's sin. It was so that the works of God might be made visible. The works of God. This week, I had one person say very clearly to me, a couple insinuate it. Do you think that this is God's punishment right now, straightening the world out? It was very easy for me to answer right away and say, the God that I believe in, the God that I serve, is not a God of vengeance who's trying to wipe people out with an illness. This is one of many kinds of illnesses that we have had in our history. For the majority of us, it's the first time we've ever experienced anything like this. But this is not what our God does. I choose to see exactly what Jesus says, that the works of God might be made visible through what's going on in the world right now. Just working alone in healthcare, I see the dedication of doctors, of nurses, of technicians, of so many people who are going over and above and beyond and working long hours, going out of their way, taking on extra things to do. I see different things of happening in the world of where people are taking care of one another right now. People are reaching out. There are some signs we see of selfishness, but I choose to see the goodness of God that's happening. And today in the first reading, we hear how David was anointed. He was anointed by Samuel, just as you and I were anointed at our baptism, at our confirmation, and how the Lord has anointed each one of us over and over again. God is not here to punish us. God is walking with us, and God is working through us, and God is using us right now to be His presence, His healing presence in the world. And in the second reading, we heard that we are not people of darkness, but we're children of the light of Christ, trusting in the light of Christ. And right now, that's something we need to do more than ever, is to be the light of Christ in the world, not to give in to fear. Even if we have symptoms of illness, the Lord is present to us right now through those who are there to assist us. How are we called to be that light of Christ right now? Maybe to those who are alone, to our relatives who are alone, to our neighbors who are alone, to shut-ins who aren't even getting meals on wheels right now. How do we think about them down the street or those that we know who are in that situation? How can we be the people of light to them? We've been anointed. We are people of the light. We're called to be that light of Christ and that hope of Christ to people in the world right now. And that's what God is using each one of us for. At the end of the gospel today, at the end of the gospel, when the blind man asks Jesus, or the blind man is talking to Jesus, you know, the thing about that blind man today, that blind man, though he was looked to be a person of sin, he's not a person of fear. He's not afraid to talk back to the Pharisees. His parents were more so. His parents said, ask him, he's an adult. But the man was not. He's not afraid to proclaim that Jesus touched him, that Jesus healed him. And he goes back at them more than once. And then when Jesus finds him again, Jesus said to them, Jesus says to the Pharisees, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you are saying, we see. And your sin remains. What are we seeing right now? What are we seeing in the world? A friend of mine sent me this prayer, who I know is watching this afternoon. It's called The Prayer for the Pandemic by Cameron Wiggins Belm. May we who are merely inconvenienced remember those whose lives are at stake. May we who have no risk factors remember those who are most vulnerable. May we who have the luxury of working from home remember those who must choose between preserving their health or making their rent. May we who have the flexibility to care for our children, whether their schools close, remember those who have no options. May we who have to cancel our trips remember those who have no place to go. May we who are losing our margin money in the tumult of the economic market remember those who have no margin at all. May we who settle in for a quarantine at home remember those who have no home. As fear grips our country, let us choose love during this time. When we cannot physically wrap our arms around each other, let us find ways to be the loving embrace of God to our neighbor. That's what our readings call us to do this weekend. That's what this time in our world right now, This Lent will be remembered probably all of our lives because it is a different kind of Lent. It's a different journey. It's a time for us to truly be that presence of God to one another, as Jesus says in the Gospel today, so that God's love may shine forth through us.
Beautiful homily. So that God's love may shine forth. And we come back, some specific examples of that. I wrote an article on it for the Deacon Magazine. I'll share some of those. Something that happened to me in the nursing home last week with my mom in the assisted living facility, I share with my local listeners in the first hour. And then some other great examples of how people are truly being Christ to one another in this very difficult challenge, in this new normal in which we're currently living. We'll be right back on a Thursday morning. Stay tuned.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at AveMariaRadio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. This week, Ave Maria Radio expected to conduct our spring membership drive. The coronavirus pandemic has interfered with our hosts' ability to travel, our volunteers' ability to gather together. More, a fruitful drive requires an intense focus of concentration. The week of the drive, we do the drive. But for now, our focus must be on providing programming that will help us endure and grow spiritually through this time of testing. So let's keep one another in prayer, and we'll return to our membership drive at a more appropriate time.
You don't think it'll happen to you twice. First, it was a fire. My agent was right there and helped me rebuild. Then the tornado destroyed everything again. Both times, my independent agent and auto owners took care of me like someone takes care of family.
For whatever lies ahead, we're always there. Auto Owners Insurance.
For your no-obligation quote, please call Choice Insurance at
734-641-4200. We're having a great day. It is a Thursday morning, March 26, 2020. Tomorrow, Doug Keck will be joining us at 15 minutes past the hour, and then we're also going to be speaking with Dr. Monica Miller about efforts, as you heard Abby talk about today. We'll be following up on that interview, efforts to get more attention, focus on the fact that why in the world are abortion facilities allowed to remain open when everything else is closing around us and elective surgeries are being postponed or canceled left and right, but not abortions. Why do they always get a pass, the abortion pro-abortion supporters and the industry itself? Why is that? We'll talk more with Dr. Monica Miller. Take your questions. And then wrapping up with my friend Joe Condit from Catholic Speakers, we're starting a series of events, another way to minister to you. And I'll be doing a live event with them on Saturday night, reflecting on the gospel message and also talking about the experience with my mom and family members during this very challenging time in our world. So we'll give you all the details on that special event that's coming up on Saturday evening. And what the heck, right? We're all home, so we might as well listen to something and share thoughts. And we'll be taking questions from you as well. That's coming up tomorrow with Joe Condit, also Dr. Monica Miller, and then Doug Keck on Catholic Connection on a Friday morning, which will be, good Lord willing, March 27th. I did want to share quickly just a couple of beautiful stories of how, as Father Rich was saying during that homily that we just played for you, how people are being Christ's hands and feet and making a difference and really following the directive in that beautiful pandemic prayer. Locally here, we had a priest that actually had, quote-unquote, a drive-by Eucharistic adoration event where he put the monstrance in a big front window of the church and the parking lot was filled. And then he had a sign saying, if you need confession, flash your lights and I'll come by. Or how about that little boy out east in Maryland, and I posted the story on my Facebook page, 7 years old. He had collected over $500 through birthday gifts and some other events in his life, such as Christmas. And I'm sure as any seven-year-old, when you have that kind of money, imagine what you could buy for $500. A new bike, a new computer, new video, probably all of the above, right, for $500. But what does he decide to do? He says, you know what? There are people who need help. 7 years old. And he decides to take the money and have a fundraising event online and collected more funds. So with the money he collected through his own personal fund and the money online, he went to the stores and bought fruit and sanitary items and put together some 65 packages for senior citizens in his neighborhood, and then he delivered them. He's 7 years old, and a little child shall lead them. At my mom's assisted living facility on St. Patrick's Day, normally the place would just be hopping with all kinds of music and different activities and just a great place keeping everyone very lively and alert. They have wonderful games for the seniors, different types of parties, bingo cards. They have prayer services, Bible studies. But everything now has had to be, of course, shut down because of the virus. And the only people who can go in for very good reason are those who have emergency situations, as was our case with my mom as she was in hospice care. And so there I was sitting in my mom's little apartment, and it's St. Patrick's Day. My mom, even though we're 100% Italian, she loves St. Patrick's Day because she loves corned beef and cabbage. I don't know why, we're Italian, but she always just loved it and used to make it every single year. And so I was just sitting there, you know, kind of resting and keeping an eye on her, and all of a sudden there's a knock on the door. And one of the volunteers says, go look out the window. And so I look out the window, and there is a lovely lady with two giant dogs, adorable dogs, dressed in St. Patrick's Day garb. Just made me smile from ear to ear. And she went, and it's a one-story facility, and they have their dining area and the activities area in the center, and then the apartments branch out. So there must be, gosh, there's dozens, probably like 60 residents. But she went to each window. And so did the volunteers, knocking on the doors, telling people to go to the window to give them some St. Patrick's Day cheer to make their world a little brighter. This is how we bring the light of Christ, as Father Rich was telling us in that beautiful homily, by thinking of others than ourselves. And we go out and we do a little thing, which actually, at the end of the day, is a pretty big thing. That one little effort by that woman made my day, and I'm sure made the day of many other people, whether they were visiting their own relatives or residents themselves. Good to be back with you. We'll talk to you tomorrow on a Friday. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.